You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies Podcast. I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Another great edition of the show for you guys today. We're going to talk about Andre Iguodala possibly going to the Clippers. We're also going to talk about the rest of the schedule for the Grizzlies. We're going to get into the February part of the schedule. That is part four of the complete guide to the Grizzlies schedule. We're going to start with Andre Iguodala, talk about the reality of this, what might happen, and give you guys some tips and some pointers for a few very important dates coming up, probably when you're listening to this on Wednesday of this week. So we're going to talk about that first. Then we'll get into the schedule portion of the show after that. Also, if you're not already subscribed to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, make sure you go and do so in whatever podcast platform you choose, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, iTunes. Just make sure you go and subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. You can get automatic daily downloads and you won't miss a thing. Let's talk about Andre Iguodala to the Clippers for just a moment. A rumor came out. I saw this circulated on Twitter that the September 3rd would be he would be dealt to the Clippers. And let's just talk about the reality of that for a second. First of all, Andre Iguodala, again, like we've said multiple times, I've said it on this show, on the radio, on other podcasts, multiple times, that Andre Iguodala makes a lot of money. It's not just simply moving Andre Iguodala to another team. You take all the teams out there, you look at the teams that have the cap space or had the players to trade. Now, remind you, a lot of players were signed and traded this year. That means they can't be dealt until for six more months, or if they sign with a new team, they can't be dealt into December. So there's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of teams that are just crossed off simply because they don't have the assets. They don't have anything to match for the Grizzlies. So you take all those teams, and then you take all the teams that can actually do the deal. You're left, I think we did the show before, you're left with maybe 9 or 10 teams that actually can physically make that deal. And then you go even further and you look at the teams who would it make sense for Andre Iguodala to actually be a part of. Now, the Clippers would make a lot of sense. They could use someone like Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. A lot of what he did for the Warriors would apply to the Clippers this year. So it would make a lot of sense for him to be on that team. But again, you take all those teams out there that can actually make the deal, then you kind of whittle it down to who would it make sense for. You're not left with a whole lot of teams out there that can trade for Andre Iguodala. Now, specifically the Clippers, I've seen a rumor out there. Now, I don't know what that deal would be, but the only deal that I can find for the Clippers that would be realistic and make financial sense, it could actually be allowed, would be something like Jerome Robinson, their second round kid, and Mo Harkless, who just got traded to them this summer from Portland. Now, Mo Harkless makes $11 million. Jerome Robinson makes around $3.5 million. And the Clippers are under the luxury tax about $3 million. So it works. Only barely does it work with Mo Harkless and Jerome Robinson for Andre Iguodala. This, if the Clippers did this deal and it was just the Clippers and the Grizzlies, this would be the deal that would have to happen. Now, you get a third team in the mix, and that's a different story, and I think that's probably where they would get the most value out of getting something from Andre Iguodala, just because his contract's so big with any team, not just the Clippers, whether that's the Nuggets or someone like Dallas or LA, whomever wanted Andre Iguodala. The best value you're probably going to get out of that trade is getting a third team involved so that you can make the money work a little bit better. Now, if it were straight Clippers for Andre Iguodala with the Clippers, like the rumor I've seen suggested on Twitter, on social media, this would have to be Mo Harkless and Jerome Robinson, just purely based off financials and realistic expectations. If you have someone like, even if you move someone like Lou Williams, which you're not going to get, but let's, for the sake of argument, you move Lou Williams and Jerome Robinson into that trade, then you could probably do it. I don't even know if you could move Lou Williams and Maurice Harkless in that. You could do that. That would work, but again, you're not going to get that from the Clippers, so you could, in theory, get Harkless and Williams for Andre Iguodala. That's $19 million of those two players, but it's just not going to happen. That's not going to happen at all. You're going to get Jerome Robinson is probably the throw in there as the project. That's what you're going to acquire. Although I like Mo Harkless, I think he's a good player, but I think the value proposition of that pick is probably Jerome Robinson. But again, even if you put Lou Williams in there for Mo Harkless instead, you do Lou Williams and Jerome Robinson. It just doesn't work. The money doesn't work. They're barely under the tax line right now. They're, again, like $3.3 million under the tax line. And none of this works. It's just so the money is so big, so much money for Andre Iguodala. It's hard to make it work and make it valuable for the Grizzlies to make a deal. So unfortunately, it would be surprising if they did it, just because I don't know how they feel about Mo Harkless. But I think that would be the deal if they did. It would be Mo Harkless, Jerome Robinson. I don't think you get anything else there. Again, I think you get pretty much all the value you're going to get out of that. They're not going to throw in a first-round pick. They're not going to throw in a second-round pick. I don't think you get any of that out of the Clippers if that's the deal for Andre Iguodala. Now, like I mentioned, something that you get in a three-team trade might be different. It's something to note for Maurice Harkless is that he is not able to be traded until September the 4th. And so after that, he'll be able to be traded for the Grizzlies, or basically be traded in a multi-team deal with another player. Part of the way he was traded for with the Blazers and the Clippers doesn't allow him to be traded again for 2 months. That was July 6th, which is technically 60 days. It's September 4th. So that would be Wednesday as you're listening to this right now. So maybe that's significant, maybe not. I'm not sure if he was he could have been traded into space at that point. If that's the case, then it wouldn't matter. The way that four-team trade went down between the Clippers, the Heat, it's very confusing about who got who and who got what, and it's kind of hard to track. If Maurice Harkless was indeed involved, taken into space, then it wouldn't matter. He could be traded and aggregated with another salary at any point, and so then maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe this, I know I saw a September 3rd date thrown out, and I think that date is just, it was a date that gotten wrong when the really date is September 4th. I think that was the date I've seen tossed around, was September 3rd he would be dealt. When I think people are trying to tag that on to his date that he can't be traded, which would be September 4th. I think people just got that wrong. So again, if he was taken into space, the Clippers, it's a little bit different. He can be traded at any time. If he was traded for salary, he has to wait a certain amount of time before he can be traded again. So take that into consideration. Might be important tomorrow as you listen to this on Wednesday. Maybe not. But again, if he's traded for the Clippers, I think that's the deal. I just don't know if the Clippers are willing to do that. Willing to give up Jerome Robinson, a young prospect. Willing to give up Maurice Harkless, someone they went out and traded for. I think is a good player. Maybe they don't see him as that. Maybe they see Andre Iguodala as a better version of what Maurice Harkless could be. So there's a lot of just the idea of what the Clippers think about those two players as you get into it to really know what they're going to be able to give up for Andre Iguodala. Again, if they did, that's what they give up. I just don't know anything else. I can't find anything, any other deal besides maybe Maurice Harkless and Lou Williams, which just isn't going to happen. So take that for what it's worth. I've seen all the rumors out there, but take that for what it's worth. If it did happen, that was probably the deal that would happen. Also, make sure you go subscribe to Locked On NFL. NFL is ramping up. It is starting off this week. I can't wait. I know you guys, a lot of you guys are big NFL fans as well. So make sure you go subscribe to Locked On NFL. It's a great show. Get you ready for the week every single week. So go subscribe on your favorite platform, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you go. Just go subscribe to Locked On NFL. It'll get you ready each and every week for the NFL on Sunday, Thursday, and Monday each and every week. We'll be right back to talk about the schedule for the Grizzlies coming up. Welcome back to the show. As we've been doing the past few shows, we're going to continue our conversation about the Grizzlies' schedule. This will be part four of the complete guide to the Grizzlies' schedule coming up this year. We're going to do it in this segment and the next segment of the show. We have one more of these shows. We have one more where we'll go through March and April. Today we're going to go through February and talk about the month of February for a little bit, project wins and losses. Again, we have one more of these shows where we'll talk March and April, and then we'll move on to some different type of shows that we'll talk about at the end of today's show. Let's get right into it, though. February is actually one of the fewest months total game-wise. 11 games total in the month of February, so not a whole bunch there. four home games. There's another month with only four home games. February is one of them. So if we remember, this also coincides with All-Star break. So there's a big week and a half where there's just no games at all. So take that in consideration as we talk about February as well. There's four home games, seven away games. And as you probably guessed, as we've talked about the other two, three shows that we've done on this, they're not going to win a lot, but that's okay. As we said, the continuation of every show, just have fun. Go down and watch these guys. Go down and watch the development. Don't put expectations on them. They're going to lose a lot, but let's hopefully have fun while we're doing it. Again, it's the fewest number of games in a month for the entire season. It's the fewest number of home games in the entire season. Actually, there's one more month with home games as well. So there's 2 months with four home games. The trade deadline is in February as well, so that will be coming up as we get into February. What will the Grizzlies be doing? They're probably not going to be buying a lot of players. They're going to be selling a lot of players. Think Jay Crowder, potentially. Maybe Jonas Valanciunas. Maybe things don't work out if Jonas and Jaren can't play together. He's going to be the first one to go, not Jaren Jackson Jr. Does Jay Crowder play himself into a backup six-man, seventh-man, eighth-man type of role for a playoff contender? Can you get a first-round pick for someone like that? Who knows? But those are the type of things. Those are the questions they're going to be looking at this point in the season. The Grizzlies are going to be sellers for whatever they have. Maybe there's some projects. Maybe Grayson Allen's not working out. Maybe Josh Jackson has worked out great and you want to move off of him. You don't want him in your long-term plans, but maybe you want assets for him. So any of those type of things the Grizzlies could be doing in February as we look up coming around the out kind of the middle part of the year. This is probably the point where we start looking at Tankathon a lot. This will probably be the point where we start talking about if the Grizzlies are going to have a pick in this upcoming draft. If you remember, it is top six protected. Anything six or above, the Grizzlies pick it or Grizzlies keep it. Anything below six, the Boston Celtics get it for that Jeff Green trade. So this will be this time where we start ramping up that conversation. Will they have a pick? Start looking at possibly who some of those players might be. I think they'll probably definitely have a pick. They haven't had a lot of wins up at this point in this season, so I think they'll probably continue that trend. First game in February is a home game against the Pistons. They'll have a few games off from that last trip in New Orleans as they play the Pelicans to round out January. So this will be the first home game in February for the Grizzlies. Only four of these, so if you want to get to a home game in February, this is going to have to be one of them. Only three more after this. This will be the only time the Pistons are in Memphis. This will be the only time you'll be able to get to see Detroit here in the FedEx Forum. Blake Griffin will be here. I don't know if people still like Blake Griffin. I don't know if people care or not, but he'll be here. I believe they have Derrick Rose now as one of their guards, so they'll be there. Pistons are iffy. The line for the season of Vegas is 37.5 for the Pistons as wins for the season, so they're a little iffy. I'm still going to call this a loss for the Grizzlies overall. I think they'll be too good for the Grizzlies, but you never really know. This could be a toss-up. This could be a game where you could catch a team, but I think you probably don't. I think you probably get a loss here. And you move on. The next game, they go immediately on the road. And the next game, February 5th, is an away game at the Timberwolves. Again, their season win projection is for Vegas is 35.5. Similar to the Pistons, I still think you lose here. Some of the same things we talked about before with the Timberwolves, there's Carl Anthony Towns, there's all that. Same thing we talked about before. I think it's a loss. They go immediately on the road a couple days later, February 7th, as a part of a three-game away trip away to Philadelphia. This is a gigantic loss. The 76ers are going to be fantastic this year. Joel Embiid and Jaren Jackson Jr. will be very, very fun to watch. So that'll be interesting to see how Jaren Jackson Jr. handles Joel Embiid, if he even plays against Joel Embiid. If they put Jonas Valanciunas on Joel Embiid as a center. So that'll be interesting to see as we get into the latter part of the season how they're playing Jaren Jackson Jr. on other significant bigs. But again, Sixers are going to be very, very good this year. That's a loss for the Grizzlies. A couple days later, still on the road, February 9th, it's an away game. It's against the Wizards. It's against a team who, honestly, is probably going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. Just like the Grizzlies are going to be one of the worst teams, you finally get to play a team that is just as bad, if not worse, than you are. So this, I think, is a very winnable game for the Grizzlies. I think the Wizards are going to be awful. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. And so it is a very very winnable game. Even if it's on the road, I still think it's a winnable game for the Grizzlies to get. I think it's something you'd be disappointed if you don't get. And that's how bad I think the Wizards are going to be, because we've talked about how bad the Grizzlies are going to be. And that's how bad I think the Wizards are going to be. It will be a disappointment if you don't come away with a win there. So if you keep a track, that's the first win of the month. In February 9th, the first win of the month projected for the Grizzlies in February. You go immediately back home a couple days later, February 12th. This is where the Portland Trailblazers come to town. This is the last game before the All-Star break. This is the only time that Portland comes to Memphis this season. So if you want to go out and see Damian Lillard, which I highly recommend because Damian Lillard is awesome. He is one of the best guards in the league. Him and CJ McCollum are going to torch the Grizzlies like crazy. Maybe they don't play them. Maybe they rest Lillard and McCollum, which I don't think so. They don't really tend to do that a lot. Maybe Yusuf Nurkic will be back to play against Jonas Valanciunas. Probably not. He was injured last year, so I don't think he'll be back just yet. But the Grizzlies are not going to be able to contain the duo of Lillard and McCollum. They haven't been able to contain Lillard and McCollum whenever there were actual really good players on the floor. When it's Mike Conley and Tony Allen out there, they couldn't contain them then. They certainly won't be able to contain them now when there's much, much less skilled players out there than the Grizzlies had before. So if you want to go see Lillard and McCollum play probably the first half, maybe the first part of the third quarter, then sit down for the rest of the game, but be very, very good doing it, probably torch the Grizzlies for a lot of points, go do that, because it is one of the few times, if you've never seen Damian Lillard up close, I highly recommend it. It's very good. He's extremely good, better than you think he is. After that, the Grizzlies go on All-Star break there. They take about a week and a half off. Again, that game is on February 12th. The next game isn't until February 20th, so get a bit of time off, get to recover there. Let's take a quick break right there as All-Star break is up. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of the schedule for the Grizzlies the rest of February. We'll tally up the wins and losses and see where we're at on the season as well as far as the win-loss record goes for the Grizzlies. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for the Locked On Grizzlies episode. Another fantastic episode for you guys today. Make sure you go subscribe to the podcast if you're not already subscribed so you don't miss anything at all. February 20th, we'll pick up right where we left off. After the All-Star break, the Grizzlies go back on the road for a four-game road trip. The first game is away at the Kings. Possibly if Buddy Hield try out for the Grizzlies. If you have not already read Matt Herdlicka's friend of the podcast, great guy, fantastic writer. If you're not already subscribed to his Patreon, go do that now. Good friend, even better writer. It's way smarter than I am. So go check it out. It's Patreon. The last one he did was on a bunch of players that the Grizzlies might target in the next few years. And we're going to actually have Matt on this show to talk about that. He just doesn't know yet, but we're going to get him on to talk about that very article, because it is a conversation I think we should continue to have all year long, because those are the guys they should be targeted in free agency. Buddy Hield is one of those. Buddy Hield is someone they should definitely go out and look at. But I think the Grizzlies will probably have to max him to get him off the Kings. I think Buddy Hield is not worth max money. I talked about this on a podcast not long ago. They asked me if I would max out Buddy Hield, and I said no, because I don't think Buddy Hield's a max player. But the problem is you get into a situation where you're probably going to have to max him to get him. And the Grizzlies are going to have to get into that situation with a lot of restricted free agents that come up in the summer of next year when they go out and try to get some of those guys. They're probably going to have to max those guys to get them. Whether they deserve max money or not is a different story, because if you don't, someone else is going to. If you want him, you're going to have to max him. And if the Kings want to keep him, they're going to have to max him to keep him. And that's just, I think that's where the market's at to go on and get someone like Buddy Hield, who shot really, really good from three-point range, but is also a very, very good player. So, again, away from the Kings, that's a loss for the Grizzlies, though. But the Kings are going to be good this year, and I think Buddy Hill's part of that. Immediately after that, it's back-to-back with the Lakers. Away at the Lakers, there's not much to say here other than the Grizzlies will lose this game. Maybe it's a different Lakers team than the post-trade deadline. Lakers are different than the pre-deadline Lakers. LeBron, GM, probably makes some trades. Who knows if they're good or not? Who knows if they're going to be good or not? Because as much as I love LeBron James, I don't love LeBron James, the GM. He has not made the best of moves so far in his career. So maybe it's different. Maybe it's a totally different team. I don't know. I doubt it. Probably maybe it's still the same team. Either way, I think that chalks up to a loss for the Grizzlies. Immediately after that, they go to February 24th away to the Clippers, stay in LA. That's a loss. Not much to say here. Maybe they rest people playing the Grizzlies because the Grizzlies are terrible. Maybe the Kawhi doesn't play. Highly likely Kawhi doesn't play, but I still think they probably lose this game. Even with those guys not playing, they go from the Clippers to the Rockets. Again, this is an away game, February 26th, a few days later. Again, not much to say here. James Harden, Russ Westbrook, it's a loss for the Grizzlies. Probably a tough loss as well. After that, they come back home for two back-to-back home games. This ends the month in February 28th and February 29th. And it's kind of a weird back-to-back because they had a back-to-back with the Kings and Lakers away earlier in the month. They come back and have a back-to-back with the Kings and Lakers at home later in the month. So just a few weeks later, not even, 10 days later. So that's kind of weird, but whatever. The Kings are on a second night of a back-to-back when they play the Grizzlies at home on February 28th. They are at the end of a four-game road trip. It's a very winnable game for the Grizzlies. You sell out here, you get a win, you do everything you can to get a win because you're probably going to lose to the Lakers the next night. So you sell out, get a win here, and do whatever you can against a very tired Kings team on the end of a four-game road trip on the second night of a back-to-back. This is a game the Grizzlies could win. Again, I think the Kings are going to be good this year, but I also think this is the one you can steal from them as well at home. So that's one that I'll chalk up for as a win for the Grizzlies. That's two wins for the entire month, if you're counting. And the next game is a home game against the Lakers. It's a back-to-back. Again, same thing here. Second time of the same month. Second back-to-back with the Lakers this month. LeBron will be in town. Will he actually be playing and resting? This is a point in LeBron's. I mean, LeBron's not really a guy who rests, but this is a point in LeBron's career where you're probably going to start taking those rest days to really be very, very good in the playoffs. Is something you know Kawhi did last year. Really tried to, as they call it, load management. Really tried to manage his body and manage the rest so he's actually capable of playing basically, a whole second season. Once you get to the playoffs and if you get to the finals, it's a couple more months of playing basketball. And so that's something maybe LeBron tries to look at and maybe really start resting his body later in the season. Probably not. LeBron's probably will probably be playing unless he's hurt. So if you want to sell your tickets for that, probably a prime one to sell those tickets for, make some of that money back. If you're counting after all that, two wins in the month of February, not a lot. It's nine losses. That brings us to a whopping 14-46 on the year for the Grizzlies. Again, the Vegas line for wins this season for the Grizzlies right now is 27.5. And we're at 14-46 at the end of February. You still have a month and 10 days to go before you get to the end of the season. So maybe you get to 20 wins. There are probably wins in this schedule that I probably cross off as losses. There are gonna always be wins that you steal. And for the same, on this flip side of that, there are always going to be losses you think should be wins that are losses. And so I think you'll probably have a few more wins, maybe than I have right now. Maybe you're at 16 or 17. But again, it hasn't looked good so far going through this schedule game by game for the Grizzlies. Only at 14 wins at the end of February doesn't look great for the Grizzlies. Stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. We're going to go through this will be part five of the Grizzlies schedule. It'll be March and April, and after that we're going to start getting into some previews. I'm going out of town. I'll be on vacation next week, so we won't have any episodes next week. We'll finish this week out with some episodes, and then after I get back in town, we're going to start doing some preview episodes with different media members in town, who they think about different players on the Grizzlies, what they think will happen, what their win projections are, all those type of things. We're going to hear from everybody that covers the Grizzlies. So if they cover the Grizzlies, we'll have them on the show. We'll talk to them leading up to training camp, and then we'll get right back into it. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great year for Locked On Grizzlies. Make sure you go subscribe to the show. Make sure you go find out wherever you're getting your podcast from, and you make sure you all have subscribed and you're getting automatic downloads every single day so you don't miss a thing. If you just don't know where to go after all the things I've told you, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.